This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. Here we are. It is Tuesday. It is March 25th. And thank you guys for getting up early with us. We are ready to get going here on a Tuesday. How you doing?
I'm good. Oh my gosh. We just came back from vacation and I felt like the sleep was not good for the past week. I've just been like on autopilot. And finally last night, quality sleep.
Good.
And it felt so good to wake up this morning. I'm like, yay, I'm back.
It finally sunk in. Sometimes we have such a weird schedule that when you finally don't have to follow it, your body still wants to follow it. And then by the end of the vacation, you kind of start to follow it, and then it's time to go back.
Exactly, exactly. And I think it was nice for me to be exhausted yesterday so that I went to bed at a good hour, and the quality of sleep was amazing. But then I was thinking of you, because I know you said your stomach was hurting yesterday.
Yeah.
How are you now today?
It still is crampy. We think we ate bad food at a restaurant over the weekend, and so that was the dilemma yesterday. So for me, it happened on Sunday morning. All of a sudden, without going into too many details, there were some intestinal issues. And so I was in bed pretty much all day, just laid on the couch and took a nap, just wasn't feeling good, was running to the bathroom back and forth. It was just kind of not fun. And so I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe I just caught some stomach bug or something. And my husband's like, are you all right? I'm like, I don't know. Like, maybe I ate something, and we're going back to what we ate at the restaurant. And you know, all I had was half a hamburger. Like, that was all. I wasn't even that hungry. And so then I remembered we both shared queso before that. And that night, my husband started to get sick. Ooh. Same exact thing that I had going on. So I did not sleep. Yesterday, he's coming out of it, but I was like, I think it was the queso.
Yeah.
So he said, should I call? And I was like, I mean, I don't want them to think we're looking for something for free, because we're not. But I just feel like it would be the right thing to do to kind of inform them, like, hey, we don't know for sure if it was that, but we both got sick. And so he called yesterday.
Oh, he did call.
Yeah, he did.
You guys were going back and forth a little bit.
I was going to do it, and I was too nervous to do it. So my husband called, and I guess the hostess answered, and he explained the situation. She said, okay, let me get a manager. And so she got a manager, and I guess he was like, kind of, I don't want to say dismissive, and he wasn't rude, but he was kind of like, okay. My husband's like, hey, I just want to let you know, my wife and I were in there. We both had the queso. My daughter didn't have it. We both got sick. We don't know if for sure if that's it, but we just wanted to kind of give you a heads up. And he goes, okay.
No follow-up questions, like, when did you come in? Where were you seated?
Well, he kind of told, no, not that kind of stuff, but we told him, you know, it was on this night, and he's like, okay, all right, thanks. And my husband's like, okay, well, yeah, all right, have a good day. He's like, all right, yeah, thanks, bye.
Cool story, bro.
I know. And we were like, I don't, but at the same time, he's like, I don't really know what I was expecting, but I just wasn't that.
Yeah.
So it was weird.
It wasn't like, hey, are you guys okay now? There was no like type of concern. It was just like, all right, cool. Thanks for letting me know.
It's like, that was basically it. It's like, okay. And he's like, all right. All right. Okay. All right, well, have a good day.
It's so weird. Without revealing the restaurant, was it one here in town or was it one when you guys were
It was here. And so, I just be leery of queso. You just never know. And again, I don't want to say it was that. What if it was like just some weird bug we got?
Very true.
Like, I want to be really careful before I throw out accusations, but we just wanted to give you a heads up. Maybe it was that. He was just like, all right, cool. Have a good day.
They really didn't care. At the end of the day, they did not. They're like, all right, well, thanks.
I know.
Anything else?
Matt thinks he thought that he was fishing for something free. I'm like, look, if we got food poisoning from your queso, do you really think we want to go back and get more of that? No,
no,
we definitely don't. So
no.
Yeah, that was kind of our excitement yesterday. We definitely are on the tail end of this, I'm hoping.
I'm glad you guys are better.
Yeah, but we've got a lot coming up on the show this morning. We've got your Reggae in the Desert tickets to check out that amazing festival. It's going to be so much fun. And we had a winner with the Mega Minute yesterday at 7:30. Let's do it again today. We've got some, we're going to play some heads up this morning. A lot going on, but let's kick off the show with the pre-show. You pick them. You guys get to pick the first song of the show. Do you want to hear Please Don't Go by KWS? I never knew who sang this. So I was like, oh, okay, I know this song, but I never know who sang this. Do you want to hear Time After Time by INOJ? Or do you want to hear Love Song by 311? Your choices. You can vote right now. You can tweet us on X or Threads at Mercedes in the AM. You can vote on our Facebook page, which is Mercedes in the Morning, or just text or call us at 702-364-9400. We'll count your votes now and reveal the winner next on Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the Morning. We've heard of sleep divorces before where people will actually have to separate themselves when it's time to go to bed and sleep in separate bedrooms for whatever reason. One may be a snorer, the other may be hugging the bed, and you're just not getting that quality sleep. So you sleep divorce, and it's been known to save marriages all across the world. And now there is something called a bathroom divorce, and they're saying this is the secret to a happy marriage.
Yes, and I couldn't agree with this more. This helped my marriage. When we moved into a two-bedroom, two-bath, the bathroom divorce is where we have our own separate bathrooms. And I was able to take the master bathroom, and James took the guest bathroom. And it was less fights, like maybe over the smell when he would come out. I'd be like, oh my God, put an incense on. That is no longer a fight. And then just taking, like, I would take my time getting ready if we were going out or just getting ready for work. And now that's no longer an issue. And I would have to say the bathroom divorce has seriously saved my marriage.
Really? Was it that bad where you guys were fighting that much over the bathroom?
I think it was more just like I finally was able to have my own space.
Yo.
Like we already share the bedroom. And then now we have to share a bathroom, and like, oh my gosh. And I think it wouldn't be like blown out fights, but it would save time. It would help us just like not get annoyed of each other. So yes, the bathroom divorce is one of the things I would say is a secret to a happy marriage.
Personal space is a big thing. No more scheduling conflicts where you don't have to worry about, you know, like I need to get in the shower. Well, I'm about to get in the shower. So you have like your own separate ways, but then in my mind, the first thing I think about is more cleaning. Now you have to clean two bathrooms instead of just one bathroom.
Okay, so wait, now I'm thinking about it. That one, no more fights on the time and like the smells is now really a fight with us now. It's like, hey, clean your own bathroom. Now I've got to clean. And so I have to get better on him. It's just like, hey, this is your bathroom. You need to clean it because I'll end up cleaning his own bathroom.
Oh,
and that's
see,
not
that's
cool.
double the cleaning for you. Is this really a good thing? Is this really helping your marriage?
You're making making me reevaluate now. But it really, no, overall, it has helped. And I feel like there are other things that I think that help with, like, little secret things that help us, at least for me and James. Like, we talked about Beyonce, and I told him, I need to go to Cowboy Carter. Like, I need to go. He goes, you just went to Renaissance 2 years ago. We can't afford two tickets. And I totally get it. So we've agreed.
But this is your artist.
This,
like, we
is
all
my
have
girl.
You all have that one artist that you're like, if they come, I have to go see them. I have to. And so I get that, you know. It's not like, you know, Jason Derulo is popping in and you're like, oh, that'd be cool to see him, but like, you don't need to go see him.
Yeah, I need to see Beyonce. And so we've agreed, and I think this has helped our marriage too, is like, if there's things that we have to see, like, he loves the Lakers, go watch a game by yourself. Go to that. And we've agreed, you go to Beyonce by yourself, and next on our list to do is James needs to go to something for him by himself.
So what is it going to be? And is he going to get, like, courtside seats to the Lakers now?
Oh my gosh, now I'm like really reevaluating all these secrets to our marriage.
Because
really
didn't you get, like, really good seats to be, or a really good seat to Beyonce?
Yes, I got a really good seat to Beyonce.
Oh,
and now he's like, I know how much you paid.
He's going to be sitting right there next to Jack Nicholson. What's up, dude? It's Mix 94.1.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes!
Hello, and good morning. Welcome to the show. It is 6:04. It's Tuesday, March 25th. We're so happy to have you guys here. I'm just glad you made it in this morning after getting injured by a jalapeno?
It was a chili pepper.
A chili pepper. I want to hear what happened, first of all, but remind me to go back to the fact that you get chili peppers on your hamburgers, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I will.
Okay. So what happened?
So I don't get them in my hamburgers, but I've been thinking about it. But I had In-N-Out yesterday for dinner, and this is my order. I get a number one protein style, well done fries with chilies on the side. And this is what I discovered with the chilies on the side, is when you bite into the chili, you squeeze the juices onto the burger, and it has been a game changer. And I thought I wasn't going to make it in this morning because I got injured by one of those chili peppers by biting into that chili pepper. And once I bit it, the juices, it squirted all over my face and it went into my eye.
Oh my gosh. That's just, I've had chili juice in my eye before, and it is not pleasant. That is brutal.
It was so brutal. I'm over here trying to wash it out. I keep blinking down so that it will tear up. And by the time, like, I finally was able to recover and open my eye, my food was cold.
Oh,
like,
you missed the whole experience.
I did. Like, so my double burger was all cold. And this is what I will go back to is, you're right, I can actually do chili peppers in my burger, because when I went to order, the girl at In-N-Out said, do you want the chili peppers inside the burger? And I'm like, oh my God, maybe I'll do that next
this
time.
This is where I'm confused. I am in shock right now, because I love chili. I love chili peppers. I love anything spicy. Give it to me. There's a hamburger place in New Mexico, and I think there are in other states, called Lotta Burger.
Okay.
And their specialty is a green chili cheeseburger. Like, it's my favorite. I had no idea that In-N-Out gave you chili peppers for their burgers.
Yes.
No clue. Like, there are too many secret menu things that are too much of a secret. And I am in shock right now. Like, what kind of chili peppers are we talking here?
They're like the yellow, small little chili peppers. I wish,
like,
I knew the name.
Banana peppers?
Here, I'm going to look it up for you. But do you know about animal style?
Yes, I do know about animal style. I know about the Neapolitan milkshake.
Okay.
I knew about animal style burgers, fries. There is Flying Dutchman.
Yes.
I've heard of that, but I've never known In-N-Out to serve chili on their burgers. And now I'm freaking out. Why have I not been privy to this information?
I guess, yeah, they're hot. They're not banana peppers. They're just pickled cascabella chili peppers. I don't know what cascabella chili peppers is, but they're good. And you got to try it next time you go to In-N-Out.
Oh, they're like the little side peppers that you get, like, On the side of a sandwich or something sometimes.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, I did not know that they serve those.
We got
Is there anyone else that's in complete shock this morning? Man, I am really upset that no one ever told me this. They need to have, I know there's got to be a secret menu online somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But no one told me this. And there's a whole article about it. The spicy In-N-Out topping to amplify your burger. Back in 2023, here I am. 2025, just finding out. That's just great. All right. Well, we've got a lot going on the show this morning. We have an early edition of Heads Up for you to get tickets to check out Reggae in the Desert. It is going to be such a fun festival show. Your tickets coming up in just a couple of minutes. Also, we have the Mega Minute. You'll win more of those tickets. And Snow White passes with Heads Up in the 8 o'clock hour. On the way next, though, we have What's Trending. She is back and she is bringing something beautiful. Miley Cyrus just made a huge announcement about her next era, and it's everything fans have been waiting for. The details, the drama, and the drop date coming up in What's Trending.
Are you guys ready? All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Mercedes in the Morning's What's Trending? What's Trending on Mix 94.1.
Miley Cyrus is trending this morning. She is officially entering her next era. She just announced that her new album called Something Beautiful is dropping this spring.
Nice.
Yeah, in true Miley fashion, she made the big reveal on social media. She spoke in third person, of course, as she does. She shared that the album has 13 original tracks and is executive produced by her and Sean Everett. So the album cover is just so dramatic. Miley is draped in this archival 1997 Terry Mugler couture. It's so fancy. It's like giving high fashion and just kind of setting the tone of what we can expect on this new album. And fans had a feeling that something was up because all these black and white posters started popping up of her worldwide, and they're like, okay, something's about to be announced. So now it is official. Something arrives on May 30th.
That is, oh my gosh, that's right around the corner. And I love Miley. I mean, everything about her, even when she was going through her divorce, I just like, this. She's going to come out of this so strong. I mean, look, she has one of the biggest hits, Flowers, and I think it's time to retire Flowers and get something new going on, because I know how amazing she can be. And I just love seeing her on stage. Like, that's my one of my biggest things, is she's an amazing performer.
I just feel like she has she is the queen next to Madonna of reinvention. And she has so many different eras. You think, okay, Hannah Montana era. That was huge. Obviously, we love Hannah Montana. And then there was the Can't Be Tamed era. And that's where she started pushing against the whole Disney image. And then there was the Bangers era, which was insane.
Like, I forgot about that.
I love the Bangers era. That was like the wild child era. I loved it so much. And she had some other ones, like there's the Plastic Hearts era, and then this last one, the Endless Summer Vacation era. I love how she's constantly reinventing herself.
And her comebacks are so strong, too. She goes, you think I'm good now, but imagine the next album or the thing I'm going to do next. And I love that about Miley.
Yeah, she's amazing. So new Miley coming out in May, and that is what's trending. And now it is time for you to win. We've got an early edition of Heads Up. Who wants to play right now? 702-364-9400. We have your tickets to check out Reggae in the Desert. It's going to be such a fun concert at the Clark County Amphitheater on April 19th. Your tickets right now with Heads Up. You get to pick your category. And if you get 6 answers in 60 seconds, the tickets are yours. Caller 20 gets to play right now. 702-364-9400.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
All right, let's get our contestant, Alexa. You're caller 20. Yeah. You ready to play Heads Up?
I'm so excited. Yay.
All right, let's do it. Reggae in the Desert tickets for you. All you got to do is get 6 answers in 60 seconds. You ready to pick a category?
I am.
Okay, so we have Home Run, In the Spotlight, Waiting Room, or Earth's Axis.
In the Spotlight.
In the Spotlight. Okay, World Theater Day is on Thursday. These are all things that are associated with the theater, okay? Are you a theater kid?
No, not really.
No, me neither. But we're going to be fine. We're going to get this. All we need is 60 seconds, okay? We just gotta have faith here.
You guys got this. You guys will do great. In 60 seconds, it starts now.
These are the people that play the parts. You are a what?
Cast member. Actor.
Yes, actor. This is where you perform on the what?
State.
Yes. This is the person behind the scenes that is telling you what you need to do.
The director.
Yes. This is this is where all the costume changes happen. They all happen where?
Where backstage?
Yes, backstage. Oh my gosh. I just said this. This is when you wear like a certain dress for a certain role. That is your what?
Costume.
Yes, this is when you are the center of attention on stage. They shine this on you.
The spotlight.
Yes, that's right. Alexa.
Oh my gosh.
Not bad for two ladies that have never been in the theater before. We did pretty good, Alexa.
It was a clue giving.
Hey, I think you are a great contestant, and you just got yourself a pair of tickets to check out Reggae in the Desert at the Clark County Amphitheater.
So
you are welcome. Thank you for listening. And hey, the winning continues. We'll have another pair of these tickets to check out this amazing show on April 19th at 7:30 this morning with the Mega Minutes. So definitely don't want to miss that. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. I think it's time for the kids to put down the iPads, pick up a pen, and New Jersey is making sure that they do this. They are bringing back cursive. There's this new bipartisan proposal that just got the green light from the state's education committee that requires cursive instruction for students in grades 3 through 5. So that means a whole new generation of kids are going to get to experience the joy of perfect loops, elegant signatures, and that fancy but utterly confusing capital Q.
The
capital Q. I never understood that in cursive.
Mine was the Z. I hated the Z.
Yeah.
In cursive was the worst.
But do you think that kids should be learning cursive? I was really surprised when I found out that they're not teaching them that anymore. My daughter's school, they did teach them that. But they don't really, I look at their handwriting now and they don't really write in cursive.
Really?
They know how to do it, but it just their everyday penmanship, it's just straight print. And I still write a lot in cursive, and I think it's more out of laziness than everything else. So I don't have to pick my pen off the paper.
Yes.
But do you think that cursive is just one of those things that we'd be wasting our kids' time if we taught them? Or do you think that it's a lost art that more kids need to learn how to do it?
I for sure think that, because all of my elementary school, I never learned print. Cursive was my entire elementary school
thing.
It was. And I don't know if I really needed it. I sadly don't think I needed it. I love doing it. I love writing in cursive. But the thing is, for me, the only thing I needed it for was to learn how to do my signature. And I don't really use it for anything else. So to me, cursive isn't, it's kind of like one of those things for me. I don't like math. Because I never really use it in my day-to-day, like algebra, like the crazy maths. I don't need it. And that's where I think kind of cursive stands for me.
What do you guys think? 702-364-9400. And if you're one of our junior listeners, if you're a kid, do you want to learn cursive? Do you know what cursive is? Do you think that it would be cool to learn? We want to hear from you. Let's talk to Dave. Hey, Dave, good morning. Cursive in school. What do you think?
You know, I think it's necessary. My son is 12 years old. He's in sixth grade. And he was in second grade during COVID. So he didn't get any handwriting. Most everything was on the Chromebook. And so today at 12 years old, his handwriting, it's embarrassing. It's
really?
Not even bad.
Aww.
Yeah. And, you know, he's in sixth grade and we've tried to work on it with workbooks and stuff. And like you said, Steph, it's mostly about the signature these days with the cursive. But I think it really helps bridge that brain hand for him and for probably for other kids. So just having them learn cursive may help them just write better for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that coordination with your hands and what that could teach them, Dave. That's a really good point.
He typed 60 words a minute now.
Wow.
So it was some good came out of it. You know, he's amazing at typing, and I'm sure he will be forever. But when he has to handwrite something or even sign his name, I explain paper, and they're going to look back up at you, and they're going to have thoughts.
That's so valid. I love that. Thank you so much, Dave. Let's talk to Kayla. Kayla, do you think cursive is needed today in 2025?
I don't. I think it's a waste of time. It's a nice. I learned it when I was in school, but I never use it now. I print everything, and I don't even use it for my signature.
I was going to ask you
like
that. You
little
just
squiggly lines.
You don't even like write something out. You're like squiggle, squiggle. Like, and anyone can just do your signature. Is there something you learned, something besides cursive that you learned in school that you're like, why did we even bother learning that? I never ended up using that.
No, but you know what I did learn, which I did use, which I feel like kids could use? I learned how to balance a checkbook.
Oh.
We don't use checks anymore, but it helps like know how to focus on money.
Yeah, just how to balance a budget and know what you have.
Yeah.
I think that is so, so good. I love it. Thank you so much, Kayla. Let's talk to one of our junior listeners. This is Bren. Bren, you're 12 years old. What are your thoughts on cursive? Do you want to learn cursive?
I know cursive.
Oh, look at you.
But I don't, aside from using my signature, I just don't think it's useful.
Really? Do you, when you learned it, did you think like, this is really pretty, this is a nice way to write, or were you just like, why are we wasting my time here?
I was kind of like, why am I wasting my time on that?
But you have
half the letters didn't make any sense or look even remotely like what they look like in print.
I mean, seriously, that capital letter Q, are you so confused by that one?
Sorry, what?
The capital letter Q in cursive, it looks like the number 2. I don't understand where they came up with that one.
Yeah, I don't even remember half of it. I kind of forgot it.
He doesn't remember
the letters for my name.
Thanks, Brad. Just really quick, Bella is 10 years old. Bella, do you want to learn cursive?
Yes, I want to learn cursive because I think it would be cool to, like, be able to write pretty.
Write pretty. Look at that. Have you ever seen the Declaration of Independence? They wrote their names in cursive. And look how pretty that is. Bella, don't you want a beautiful signature like Mr. John Hancock?
Yes.
She's so sweet. We all want to write pretty.
I want to write pretty too, Bella.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress, just like David says. Sleep easy, friends.
Have you ever done one of those 23andMe tests to find out your lineage?
I've never done one of those. I'm kind of nervous too.
Well, good. I'm glad you didn't, because the genetics testing company has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection following some difficult years after going public in 2021. They're known for their saliva-based test kits that offer their customers a look into their genetic ancestry, and 23andMe has seen its market capitalization just plummet more than 99% from a peak of $6 billion after it failed to turn a profit. And so now experts are advising users to delete all your data from the site so you can protect your privacy. Not only does it tell you, you know, where you come from and look at who you're related to, but it could also show genetic abnormalities. What are you predisposed to? Things like that. Like, that's a lot of information for a company to have.
You're right. I didn't even think about it. What gets me is knowing if I have like a long lost sister that I don't know about.
Yeah.
That's what freaks me out. I don't know if I could do those things.
I was going to do it. And my mom made a comment that made me stop dead in my tracks. Like, I said, hey, I think I'm going to do, it wasn't that, it wasn't 23andMe. It was the other one. Ancestry?
Yes.
And I was like, I think I'm going to do this ancestry.com. I just want to see, like, you know, where our families are from. And da, da, da. She goes, I would really think before you did that.
Oh.
And I was like, huh? And she's like, unless you are prepared to find out some things that you might not want to find out, I would think before I did that. And I'm like, okay. And she didn't say anything else. But the way she said it was like, don't do it.
Now it's, you want to do it.
Now, well, actually, no, I don't know.
I'm like, now you don't? Okay.
But my aunt did it for my dad's side of the family. And we found out that through long lost lines, we're related to some royalty in Spain. I can't remember.
That's cool.
It was no one I had ever heard of. I had no idea. But on my mom's side, she was like, I'm like, okay. Yeah, exactly. Also this morning, if you are having a hard time sleeping, the key to some better sleep could be a pair of socks. There are all kinds of sleep hacks and advice out there that claim to help us sleep better, but experts are saying that there is that sure, simple way to boost your chance of a good night's sleep, and all it takes is keeping your socks on when you go to bed. They say that, you know, a lot of people feel like it's counterintuitive because by wearing socks to bed and warming up your feet, you might actually lower your core body temperature, and that's the key to making yourself sleep longer, and studies back it up. So they say that young men who slept in socks fell asleep almost 8 minutes faster and slept for 32 minutes longer than those who did it. And they also woke up fewer times during the night.
I could not sleep with socks on. That's one of the things I can't do. I always have, like, let's say I fall asleep with socks on in the middle of the night. Pew,
really?
It gets too hot for me.
I have to sleep with socks on. I feel like I sleep so much better when I have socks on at night. It's just, and I had seen one of these studies and I'm like, well, I'll try anything at this point. And it just changed. It changed so much for me. It helped a lot, but I really think it depends on the person. Some people don't like that feeling of constricted feet. They like them feel free to move.
Yes,
you know?
And not just that, but don't you also sleep with a weighted blanket? Like, you like that type of stuff on your body,
girl,
when sleeping?
I mean, literally, I'm like a mummy when I sleep. So I have my socks on. I have a weighted blanket that's way too heavy for me. I just, when I ordered it, I was like, oh, I'll just get the heaviest one. I didn't know that you were supposed to get it based on your own body weight. And so the weighted blanket I have, I think, is 35 pounds. So that's supposed to be for a 350-pound person.
No.
Yeah. So I can't move.
Listen,
at night.
I'm like,
and then now I have my mouth tape.
Oh, man.
You should see me. I am just like, ooh, I don't move.
You are done for. That's a Mercedes the mummy at night.
I think that's why I sleep so good, because I basically pass out. It's just like I can't breathe. Finally, this morning, there is a couple in Jilin, China, who recently found themselves in a very sticky situation while they were trying to film a video for social media. They wanted to see if the woman's hand could fit inside her boyfriend's mouth. It went fine. It went fine. She got it in there. But when she tried to take it out, his jaw muscles cramped and it clamped down on her hand and it trapped it.
No.
So they had to go to the hospital. When they went there, the doctors saw that the man's face was red. He was drooling. His throat was making gurgling sounds. His teeth had tightened around her wrist because of this muscle contraction. So to get his girlfriend's hand out, they had to play this calming music to relax him, and they used this special tool just to slightly open his mouth, and then they gave him a muscle relaxer. It took about 20 minutes to get the guy's hand free. No word on how many views though that they got for that video. I bet it's a lot.
I'm looking at the photo of the girl's hand stuck in the boyfriend's mouth, and boy oh boy, he looks stressed. He looks like, I should have never done this. Babe, why'd you make me do
like,
this?
Like, at what point are you like, we gotta cut her hand off? Or like, you know, could you imagine if they had to go that far to do that? They just, instead they just drugged him up real good. And then he's like, ugh.
It's time for Beat Mercedes. Mercedes. Can you guess the song faster than she can? Let's go.
Okay, let's get our contestant this morning. It is Albert. Yeah. Good morning, Albert. You're caller 20.
Good morning.
How you feeling? Are you ready to take on the champion?
Yeah.
I think so.
I guess the song faster than I can. I know. It's all an act, honestly. Up for grabs, we have this $225 diamond pendant from Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers. You just got to guess the song faster than I can. Okay, Albert?
Okay.
All right. We're going to wish you the best of luck. I'm going to get out of here before I come back and beat you.
So fake.
No, so, it's so
get
fake.
Out of here.
Okay, I'm getting out. Bye. Bye.
Okay, Mercedes is leaving. Albert, this is how the game works. You're going to hear the first 20 seconds of a song. Once you know the correct artist and title, I need you to shout, got it. Once you shout out, got it, we stop the clock and you got to give us something, okay?
Okay.
All right. Give me a second. The next sound that you hear is the song, and it starts now.
Got it.
Okay, what you got?
Got it. Is it Wild Wild West by Will Smith?
Ah, okay, let me write your time down. We're bringing Mercedes in. Miss Martz, come in. Albert, what you up to this morning?
Heading over to work right now.
Nice. Okay, we're going to do this quickly because Mercedes is back. Welcome back, Mercedes.
Oh, thank you. Oh boy. That was very fast.
We love the confidence.
That did not
before.
Take 20 seconds, and now I'm like, ooh, okay, what happened?
I know, right? Okay, the next sound that you hear, Mercedes, is the game, and it starts now.
Oh, got it.
What you got?
Will Smith. Men in Black?
Final answer?
No, but that's all I got. Wild West.
Wait, what was it? What are you going with?
I said the first thing. I can't change it. It's not fair.
You stopped the clock at 3.3 seconds, and you should have gone with your second answer because it was Wild Wild West by Will Smith.
I know it was, but I can't change my answer. That's not fair.
Well, guess what?
What?
Albert? He stopped the clock at 2.4 seconds, and he beat you.
He got it!
Yes, Albert! Oh, my gosh! Congratulations, Albert!
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. This has got to be a record. I don't think we've had back-to-back winners so close together.
Kidding.
You just got yourself a $225 diamond pendant. Courtesy of Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers, Albert. This is amazing.
Thank you.
See, the cockiness worked. No. It worked. It was like reverse psychology.
I'm telling you.
Wait, how long did it take for him?
He did it in 2.4.
So it didn't matter if I got it right or not.
That is true.
He got it faster than I did. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Why am I so excited for Albert? That is so cool. That means that we reset tomorrow. Minden Wednesday. We're back at $100 diamond pendant courtesy of Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers. Who wants to call Michael and let him know?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Sorry, Michael, I let you down, buddy. Sometimes I feel like your brain just refuses to cooperate with you, especially in awkward or emotional moments, and you'll say things that were just the wrong thing to say at the wrong time. And Ramon, you went to a funeral recently. I'm so sorry, first of all. But you definitely had some of those awkward moments. What happened?
I definitely put my foot in my mouth. But yeah, I knew almost everyone there. So I kept walking around asking her, you know, saying hi. And I just feel so dumb. I kept asking, hola, ¿cómo estás? Hi, how are you? And I'm like, why? And every time I said it, I just kept shaking my head. I'm pretty sure that everyone noticed, and I was just like, you're such an idiot. You know how they're doing. You know how they're feeling. You can see them in their face. And I'm just like, why do you keep asking
that? We're grieving, dude. Why do you keep asking me?
It's just a reflex, though. I think, and no matter how much you tell yourself to stop, you're just going to keep doing it. And it doesn't, the way I take it, it's more like not, hi, how are you? It's more like, hi.
Yeah,
how are you? How are you doing?
And they would respond saying, oh, I'm good. I'm like,
are you? Then why are you here?
And I'm like, same thing. That's kind of like their automatic, response.
Yes.
And I was just like, after another, I kept saying, stop saying that. And it just kept going.
What are you supposed to say instead then at a funeral?
I guess I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'd be like, oh.
Well, not just that, but were you going up to people and asking, hi, how are you, when they were crying, or were they just kind of in solitude? What was their body language
They were crying, tears were on their face and stuff like that.
Yeah. I remember at a family funeral that I went to, I of course was seeing family I hadn't seen in years.
Yeah.
And so I kept saying, it's so good to see you. And I'm like, well, not under these circumstances, it's yes. not good to see you. But I kept saying that. And I'm like, and then I throw that in. I'm like, I'm sorry they're under these circumstances, though. Like, oh, my gosh, what an idiot. When did you say the wrong thing at the wrong time? Maybe your brain just was not working. 702-364-9400.
I think at funerals, it's so awkward, too, because, like, for example, my mom gave a eulogy to my grandma at my grandma's funeral. And I remember after my mom was done, she's just like pouring her heart out to everyone. She's giving everyone's giving her a hug. I'm like, Mom, you crushed your speech. Like, your speech, it was amazing. And she goes, thanks, honey. Like, she's crying. Like, oh. Why did I think to enlighten her? I don't know if there was just that part of me that felt like she needed to hear some nice encouraging words. Like, you killed your speech, Mom. Yeah. You did great.
But I think that that's a positive thing to say. It may sound a little insensitive considering the circumstances, but I'm sure that meant a lot to her. You know, it just seems like the wrong thing to say at the wrong time. Have you ever, like, met a baby for the first time and said something?
Uh-oh.
Like, this was a few years ago. I swear I meant nothing by this, and my brain just did not work. The words came out wrong. This baby had the biggest eyes I have ever seen, and they were so wide open for being a newborn. Mm-hmm. And newborn's eyes usually are not that wide open. And when I went and visited my friend in the hospital, she's holding the baby, and I see him for the first time. I'm like, oh my gosh, he looks so unique. And she just looked at me like I just called her baby ugly.
Unique, huh?
I don't know why I said that, but he did. But in a good way, like his eyes were so big and wide open and he was so aware of his surroundings. And I was like, oh my gosh, he looks so unique. And she goes, unique? And I was like, I mean, he's beautiful. She's like, unique? I'm like, I didn't mean it like in a bad way. And she's like, is he ugly? I'm like, no, he looks so cute, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, I couldn't save myself. 702-364-9400 is our number. Dan, when did you say the wrong thing at the absolute wrong time?
Yeah, you here?
Yeah, go ahead. What'd you think?
Yeah, my grandpa's funeral back 25 years ago, when I got to the church, and my grandma was getting out of the car, and I came up to say hi to her, and she was wearing this blue turquoise dress, and I was like, hi, Grandma, you look really nice. And she just looked at me with this look like I was growing horns out of my head or something weird like that. Like, what am I saying? That, you know, because I just reacted, but I just felt immediately stupid. Like, say sorry, give her a hug, say nothing.
I think what you said was fine. I mean, it was, you were complimenting your grandma. Yes, it maybe caught her off guard because she wasn't expecting that. But I don't know. It's hard to know what to say. Someone just texted and said, in reverse, when my dad passed and people would say, sorry for your loss, how do I respond? What do you guys say if someone says, I'm so sorry for your loss? What do you think?
I actually dislike that just because it just sounds generic and you're going to get that a million times from a million different people. And some of these people don't even know, you know, that person. So I just feel like that's a generic, you know, unoriginal response to give to someone.
What would you say? I would say I like condolences. But if people said, hey, I'm sorry for your loss, is it thank you? Thank you for telling me that. Maybe it's just a show of appreciation.
Yeah, I know. That seems like a weird thing to say thank you for.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for being sorry for my loss. Like, instead, I would say something like, I'm so sorry. Are you doing okay? Or something like that.
What can I do for you?
Yeah.
How can I help you? Good. I like that one.
What about, though, when someone posts something on social media about a loss? I want to acknowledge it, but I don't want to come across as, like you said, Ramon, like generic. And so I'll just say something like, sending you all my love, you know, I'm so sorry, or something like that. What are you supposed to say then?
Is it insensitive that I write emojis?
Like, oh my gosh.
Like, I'm like, heart, love, 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 love.
Just don't, like, get fat thumbs and put the skull emoji.
Yeah, I was going to say the coffin one.
No, no.
It's Mix 94.1.
The coffin emoji.
Are you ready?
It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
All right, Bree and her family on the phone. Hey, good morning, Bree. You're caller 20.
Woo-hoo, yeah.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for being a part of the Mega Minute. We've got these reggae in the desert tickets to give away right now with the Mega Minute. Have you heard it before? You know how it works, Bree?
Yes.
Okay, so any one of you can yell out an answer. If I hear the correct one, we are moving on to the next question. We have 60 seconds. We've got 10 questions. Let's get these all right, okay?
Let's do it.
Woohoo! Bree, if you're struggling with a question, you can say pass. Or if you get one wrong, if there's time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And Bree and family, your Mega Minute starts now.
If your birthday is today, what is your zodiac sign?
Pisces.
No. What historical figure is on the $100 bill?
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes. Reggae colors are usually associated with red, yellow, and what other color?
Green.
Yes. Who is the current governor of Nevada?
Pass.
AFC Richmond is a fictional soccer team on what TV show?
Pass.
Who wrote the novel Pride and Prejudice?
Jane Eyre.
One more time?
Jane Eyre?
No.
No.
Yep. Each state has how many senators?
Three.
Each state has how many senators?
Three.
No. Cosmo and Wanda are from what cartoon show? Fairly Odd Parents is correct. Oh, Bree and family, I'm so sorry. We didn't make it through all 10 questions. We got hung up on quite a few. These were tough.
They were really hard
today. So the current governor of Nevada is Joe Lombardo. AFC Richmond, that is a fictional soccer team that is on Ted Lasso. Going back to the first question, I forgot that one. If your birthday is today, your zodiac sign, you're an Aries. Mm. And the author of Pride and Prejudice is Jane Austen. And each state has two senators. Sorry. These were really, really difficult. Bree, thank you so much for listening this morning. That means caller 20 right now. You get these tickets. Two of them to Reggae in the Desert on April 19th at the Clark County Amphitheater. Caller 20 gets them at 702-364-9400.
Hot, hot, hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
So did you guys hear about this accidental reporter text?
Yes.
U.S. officials reacted with shock and in many cases horror to the revelations in The Atlantic that top members of the president's cabinet sent detailed operational plans and other likely highly classified information about U.S. military strikes on Yemen to a group thread on a messaging app to which a reporter had been accidentally added. Now, the Trump administration, they did acknowledge the messages sent over the non-government encrypted chat app Signal. They say they seem to be authentic. They didn't offer really any explanation as to why they were discussing national defense information outside of approved classified government systems. Don't want to get into the politics and stuff, but have you ever accidentally texted the wrong person or put someone on a group chat or anything like that? What happened?
I think for me, it's like when you are texting about someone, like let's say I'm talking about my dad. I'm like, oh my gosh, my dad's being so annoying and I accidentally text my dad. My dad's like, hey. I'm your dad. Like you probably meant to text it. I can't think of something on the top of my head, but for sure I've done it and it is so embarrassing. And you wish the unsend button happened back then. And now, just regrets.
I will never forget. This was a long time ago. Like my daughters were playing softball at the time. So I think they were like 6 or 7 years old. My oldest was. And there were these parents on the team that for whatever reason, we just did not click. We just did not get along. And so I just kind of kept to myself. And they had sent out something about the game on a group chat that we were all on. And I was like, okay. And so my husband couldn't go to the game that day. So he texted, like, how's everything going? And I I wrote, I'm surrounded by those two awful women. And I put that in the group chat.
No, you didn't.
I did. I go, and then I quit. And this is before you could rip, like, take your texts away.
Yes.
And I wrote back, sorry, not for here. And then I felt like that meant it made it worse because then they knew I was talking. I was like, how do I fix this? The two girls that were sitting next to me literally look at me and I'm like, I am so busted.
What'd you do? Like,
I didn't know what to do. I just sat there and I just like, I just was wanting to cry. I didn't know what to do. They weren't nice to me to begin with. They weren't nice to me after that. Like, it was just, it was what it was. I guess I got what I deserved, you know?
No, you didn't deserve it.
It was so embarrassing.
I just think that you were put in an awkward position and maybe the universe was like, well, hey, let's just make everyone know that.
Yeah, so
awful.
Now it's all out in the open. It was the worst accidental text ever. If you have had one of those, like, what happened? 702-364-9400. You sent the wrong text to the wrong person and what was it? So yeah, this is definitely the big news right now. Also this morning, have you heard of brain flossing?
Huh.
It's a new trend and they're saying it really helps reduce stress. So this founder and CEO of this wellness firm, they explain that brain flossing is a mental well-being phenomenon, which is inspired by the idea of cleansing your mind, just like flossing cleans your teeth. So what you do is you listen to 8D audio. So 8D audio are sounds that switch between your left and right ears. Mm. And it makes you feel like the music is traveling from one ear to the other and it pulsates around your head. And it creates that feeling like you're clearing out the unwanted brain guck, I guess. Yeah, so they say if you really want the ultimate experience, use good headphones, find a quiet environment, and just listen to a variety of tracks to see what works best for you. So you got to try it today. Let's all try brain flossing today.
8D audio. I'm going to try that. When you said brain flossing, I'm over here thinking that, you know, the dance, the floss.
Yeah, it's definitely not it doesn't have anything to do with
that. You don't
that,
do no. it around your head?
No.
Okay.
Finally, this morning, imagine you are flying overseas. You get to the airport early. You made your flight, and then this happens. A United Airlines flight from LA to Shanghai had to turn around over the Pacific on Saturday because the pilot forgot his passport.
Oh, come on.
It was already set to be a 14-hour flight. They turned around about an hour and 45 minutes in. They landed in San Francisco to swap out the crew. They got to San Francisco about 3 hours after taking off from LA. Passengers were told that there was a crew-related issue, but they didn't hear about the passport thing until later. They waited around 5 hours before finally taking off again, and they ended up landing in Shanghai about 6 hours late. For their trouble, United reportedly gave each passenger a $15 meal voucher.
Really? $15 for the pilot to forget the pass? Imagine being that pilot. He's like going through he's mid-air. He's going through his walk. Oh, no. Looks at his co-pilot. I forgot my passport.
Do they not have to show their passport when they're going through security? I know they have a special line, but I thought they still had to show some sort of identification. Maybe they don't have to show a
Maybe
passport.
Maybe it's their badge.
Just their badge. Yeah. Hey, Tamika, good morning.
Good morning.
We were talking about wrong texts to the wrong person. Did you do that?
Yes, I texted my teacher back in the day because my husband drank all the milk. And I was like, hey, you dumb bastard, you drank all the milk. What are the kids going to eat for their cereal?
Oh, to your teacher you said that?
Yes, and he was like, I'll bring you some milk. I was like, no, I'm not coming to class today. I am so sorry.
That is hilarious. Did you get marked down grade-wise or anything like that?
No, when I finally did return to class, he just smiled at me.
Oh,
he was just like, hey, did you take care of that milk situation? I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That is so funny. We just got a text here. It says, my boss and my best friend have the same name, and I invited my best friend to BJ's, the restaurant. So I accidentally sent a text to my boss that said, did you want to get some BJ's? And he didn't know what to think until I cleared it out.
No, that's so embarrassing.
Oh, boy. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. Okay, parents, let's talk about this. I saw a take online that has people really divided. This person said that If their toddler has a meltdown in a restaurant, any restaurant, that they immediately pay the bill and leave, no matter what. Here's what they wrote. They wrote, it's so disrespectful and selfish to subject the entire restaurant to your child's outburst just because you want to finish your food. I made a decision to become a parent, and that means it's my responsibility to deal with the situation when my child is misbehaving. If you're dining with another adult, take your kid outside as quickly as possible and wait. The other adult can pay the bill and get the food to go. Just get out of the restaurant. You owe it to the other patrons.
Wow.
Now, I get the point, but is this too extreme? Do you think that parents always should leave the second their kid acts up, or is it understandable to try and calm them down first? What is the right move here? What do you think? 702-364-9400.
I know that when my husband, when he was a kid, the way that my mother-in-law would discipline him was he, let's say, was crying out at a restaurant, and it was more for the discipline of the child than it was for the surroundings. It was, if you're not going to behave, we're going home. Immediately, they would pack up, get their things, pay the bill, and leave. I don't know if that was because they were trying to be mindful of the surroundings, but it sounds like they were more trying to discipline the child.
That we've done that one time in our lives when one of my daughters was, she was a baby, and she would not stop. And we were ruining, we were with a big group of us, like my family members. We were in Denver when it happened. And my husband and I finally are like, this is, we can't get her to stop. We're leaving. And everyone's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. And we're like, no, we are not going to ruin your guys' experience. So we left. But I haven't done that every time. There's been times where I leave, you know, I'll take her outside. We'll take a minute to calm down or whatever. But what do you guys think? Let's talk to Marissa. Marissa, you're a server. I really am curious to hear your take on this.
Yeah, I see this every day. I really wish that parents would just realize and own up to the fact that their children are just not the angels that they think they are. Nine times out of 10, they are absolute monsters. And I just think that it would be wonderful if you treated yourself out to a night and left the kids at home. Like, they you owe it to yourself to just, if you really want to go out and eat, do yourselves the favor and just leave the kid at home. It doesn't make sense to have them come out to a nice restaurant and eat chicken nuggets and make a mess and cause a scene, and you're uncomfortable the whole time, and everyone else is uncomfortable the whole time. It just doesn't, that's not a fun experience. And I'm not trying to kid bash here. I'm just like saying it as I see it.
Now, and you deal with this, like you said, every day, Marissa. So I totally respect your opinion on this. Do you think, though, it's, I mean, as extreme as like a full on just never take kids out to eat kind of situation? Is it a case by case basis? You said 9 out of 10 times they're absolute monsters. So do you think that just kids don't belong in restaurants?
I mean, frankly, yes, I do think that. I do think that. I think that I think the parents need to know their children. And what I do see that works a lot of times is parents, they'll come earlier. So maybe like they'll come around like 5 p.m. for dinner, right? So they kind of take the earlier shift of the dinner where maybe there's fewer people in the restaurant. You know, and I have seen parents that I've seen this, like the second that the child starts acting up, they do take ask for the food to go and pay and leave right away. I've also seen many other situations where parents literally, they don't even leave the restaurant for a little bit, like you were saying, like they just let them cause the scene and it's uncomfortable for everyone.
Yeah, it shouldn't hinder the other person's experience. Marissa, thank you. Let's talk to Irene. Irene, you think that is way too extreme. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Mercedes. How are you?
I'm good. What do you think?
I think it's too extreme. I'm a mom. I have three kids. My oldest is 30. We never, ever left a restaurant. We talked to them beforehand. They're going to learn how to be in an atmosphere and behave. And yes, they're not angels and they're not perfect and there's no perfect kid, but they have to learn. It's just like learning anything you do, and they have to learn how to be in an environment that when we go to a restaurant, this is how you behave. I love when people say, oh my gosh, your children are, you know, angels when we're not around. And then obviously they're not when we're with them. But at the same time, they're learning how to behave. And no, I think leaving the restaurant is not a good idea.
You know, the biggest artists live here. Yeah.
In an atmosphere to learn.
Yeah, I agree. I do think, though, that you want to make sure you're not hindering the other people's experience. You know right. what I mean? And that's the important yeah. thing. Thank you for calling, Irene. We are going to take some more of your calls here. Travis, hang on the line. Katie and Tara says, I don't care what anyone says. I'm bringing my baby wherever I go. We'll talk to all of them coming up next. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. What do you think about kids in restaurants? So there's a big online debate saying, if your kid starts acting up in a restaurant, it's your responsibility as a parent to get them out ASAP, take your food home and get out of there. Some people agree. Some people think it's way too extreme. We just talked to Marissa, who's a server, who says, just don't bring your kids to restaurants. They don't belong there. Tara definitely disagrees with that. Tara, good morning. What do you think?
Listen, I'm going to bring my baby wherever I want. And nobody going to tell me that I can't.
Why? What happens if your baby is really acting up, having a fit, screaming? Do you owe it to the patrons of the restaurant to get out of there, to not ruin their time?
Look, if my baby starts crying, I'm going to do my best to quiet it down, but I'm not leaving the restaurant. Are you kidding me? Restaurants are loud. They have, people having loud conversations, laughing, clanking and all that. I mean, come on. The last thing they need to worry about is my baby. Eat your food and mind your business.
What's more annoying, the crying baby at a restaurant or the person that is laughing so loud that you can't
cackling
in the back,
right? Exactly. Yeah, those people, nobody tells those people to shut up.
Maybe you should, Tara. I think they might listen to you.
Yeah, I would listen to you, Tara, if I was in a restaurant with my crying baby, too.
I'd bring my baby over to them, and they'd be loud together. Who would they come in and say something to first? Me.
Probably. Tara, thank you so much. Let's talk to Travis. Travis, what do you think, Travis?
Oh, I think as soon as you're in the restaurant and someone misbehaves, it's a luxury. You got to take that baby out.
Oh, you agree. Yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah, you're setting the framework for you can act that way in public.
We just talked to Tara. Actually, let me see. Tara, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, so Travis says you got to take that baby out the second they start crying. What do you have to say to Travis?
Oh, Travis needs to mind his own business. Eat his food and mind his business.
And we understand if we have kids and they're crying, it's not a big deal to us. But the others sitting around us, you know, it's
well,
not fair.
You when you go out in public, you run the risk of interacting with other people.
Right, we agree.
Like,
but anytime they acted up in public, Target or whatever, we would take off. And okay, then they knew if they wanted to be out in public, they had to act a certain way.
Well, listen, it's not like I'm not trying to quiet my child. You know what I mean? I will do what I can, but if, you know, I can't do it, I'm going to continue shopping or eating or whatever because I'm not going to waste my money. You know what I mean? I brought my kid here.
I think we're looking at the wrong enemy here, guys. I don't think the noise is the enemy. I don't think the babies are the enemy. I think the enemy is the poor lighting in these nice restaurants where we all have to take out our phones to look at the menu.
Thank you, Mercedes. That's a real enemy. Just like Tara says, when she says, eat your food and mind your business.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
All right, we've got our contestant for Heads Up. Stephanie, you're caller 20.
Yeah. Hi.
You ready to do this? We've got your tickets to check out Snow White.
I am so ready.
All right, two Fandango codes to check it out. We've got four categories for you to choose from. Do you want to go with Hogwarts, Mai Tai, Kidney Stones, or Multiply?
Let's go with Kidney Stones.
Oh my goodness. I totally thought that would be the last one you would pick. How funny. Okay, Stephanie, March is National Kidney Month. These are all different types of organs, okay? Different okay. types of organs. We got this. We just need 6 and 60 seconds. We can do it.
You guys got this. All right, Stephanie and Mercedes, your 60 seconds for heads up. Start now.
This is what you use to think. It's in your head.
Your brain.
Yes. This is what I use to sniff. I don't know it's an organ.
Your nose?
Yes. This is it goes up your back. It's got all your nerves in it. It's attached to your spine. It makes you feel.
We should just give it to her.
Let's try. This beats several times a minute.
Your heart.
Yes. This, you have your small and your large, and it helps with your
intestine.
Yes. This is, some people get this removed. You don't need it to survive.
Your gallbladder?
Yes. This is, it's a really disgusting meat to eat, and then it's also like.
Liver.
Yes. Nice. See, we didn't even need it. Stephanie, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
You just got...
That's so exciting. I've never won anything.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is really cool. You're going to go see the number one movie in the country right now. We have 2 Fandango codes for you to check out Disney's Snow White at participating theaters. They are yours for free. Great job, Stephanie. Way to know your organs. And we'll have more of these tickets for you tomorrow morning, same time with Heads Up.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
Have either of you guys heard of the former UFC star Cain Velasquez?
Yes.
Yes. Did you hear about what's going on with him?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
This is just a crazy story. He's been sentenced to 5 years in prison for plotting to kill an alleged molester. So in February of 2022, he chased after a vehicle in his truck and he rammed it and then he got out and shot it up. And he was trying to kill a man who had allegedly molested his 4-year-old son at a daycare center. Instead, he hit the man's stepfather, which caused a non-life-threatening injury, but an injury nonetheless.
Yeah.
He later admitted that what he did was really dangerous to other people and said he'd accept whatever punishment he got. The alleged molester goes to trial in June on a felony count of lewd acts with a minor. Not condoning anything he did.
Right.
However, the rage that you would feel if something like that happened or alleged to have happened against your child, I'm not condoning his acts. They were wrong, but I get the rage. You know what I mean? I get the rage.
I think, like, Ramon, you have a son. If you heard that happen, what would, like, the thoughts go through your head?
Sounds like Cain is a good father. Yeah, I can't even imagine the feeling and the rage he felt inside at the time. I don't think he regrets it.
But you can't go shooting things up and people up, right? I mean, in my mind, this is how I try to justify it against my better instincts. Like, believe me, I would want to go do something like this.
Man.
But is it better to still be there for your child instead of in jail?
Yeah, definitely you know what I mean? Definitely a slippery slope. Like I said, I can't even imagine his anger won that day, obviously.
Yeah. But I think you're right, Mercedes. You put it into a good point. Is I get the rage that you're having now and the defense that you want to go into immediately with your reaction. And then you think about, well, if I do these things, am I still going to be around for my son to raise him to not be these type of people in the world?
Right. It's hard to say that you would think rationally like that at that time, though. Like, I don't know that I would be sitting there weighing pros and cons. You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Also this morning, if you drink the work at coffee, I'm warning you, it could be bad. A new study out of Sweden says that your office coffee maybe making some trouble for your heart. They analyzed coffee samples from 14 workplace machines and they found that office coffee may contain higher levels of cafestol and kawal, which are compounds known to elevate your cholesterol. And that's compared to coffee prepared in other places. Of the 14 machines that they tested, 11 were brewing machines. 3 were liquid model machines and they brewed different kinds of coffee. They took samples and they found that the metal filters that are usually found in those office machines seem to let those compounds slip by the filtration process. So for reference, other home methods like, you know, fresh press and percolated coffee, they show lower levels of those compounds.
I don't drink coffee here. I mean, I bring my own coffee from home. I don't touch anything in that, what is it, our little break room?
Yeah.
Not even the water machine we have. Have you seen the mold buildup?
No.
Is it mold, like the white crusty stuff?
Yeah, like the calcium buildup?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see.
Can you see that?
Yeah, you can see
that. That's
it.
Disgusting.
I can't. I bring my own water bottles. I'd rather drink all this plastic than drink that calcium buildup in the break room.
Yeah, anything out of the break room, I think you're rolling the dice, you know? And then, like, sometimes I'll walk in there and there's food on the table, like someone brought cookies or donuts or something. And I'm like, as much as I would like to, I'm going to pass, especially that person who takes half a donut, like rips it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why not just take the whole thing? Like, someone's going to eat your half-eaten donut.
Oh, no. One time in the break room in the table, there was like Burger King hash browns. I was so hungry. I took them. I was like, I'm taking them. I'm starving. I don't care. Half-eaten.
Sometimes there's beer in the fridge.
We have a lot of alcohol in our mini fridge in our office, and it just sits there.
Really,
like,
I'm
no
it.
One.
Take it. It's all yours.
Finally, this morning, the English language, we just got a new word. Have you guys heard of boomer asking?
Boomer asking?
It has nothing to do with boomers.
Okay.
Boomer. That's my guess.
What did you think it was?
Asking a boomer
a question.
Or like, what is this lingo I hear of a bruh? I don't know.
Boomer asking is when you ask someone a question just so you can talk about yourself. Oh. You know, we all know people that do this. You want the question to come back to you, like a boomerang. So here's an example. Let's say you come to work on Monday and you're like, did you do anything fun on Saturday? Well, listen to this. Like, you don't really want to know. You want to tell them what you did. So this is a new term that's trending after this study found that there are three common versions of them. There is ask bragging. So let's say I say, how was your week off, Steph?
It was amazing.
Mine was great.
Oh, good to know. Didn't even let me finish.
Ask complaining, where you're just waiting for the chance to complain about something, but you pretend that you care about someone else. Like, how was work? It was fine.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've had the worst week. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
So, then there's ask sharing, which is, it's kind of like ask bragging, but without the bragging. So you might ask something like, Ramon, what do you think of Cybertrucks?
Ugly.
And you're like, I'm glad you said that because I think they're ugly too. And you just wanted to give your opinion on something.
Yeah. I think I might be guilty of that last one. Ask sharing. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. Why?
Because I remember I was out with friends and I said, oh, I was so fired up about this debate that I wanted to talk about the Drake and Kendrick Lamar stuff.
Okay.
And I'm like, I need to get off my chest. Let's just talk about it. So I was like, do you think that we should still be listening to Drake songs? And everybody in the room was fired up. They're like, absolutely not. No more Drake. Drake is canceled. And I am the only one that's like, why can't we listen to Drake anymore? I want us to listen to Drake because I knew that everyone in that room was against me, but I wanted to let it all out.
Oh, so you were ready to go to battle, but you had to open the gates to it.
Yes, and that's why I asked everyone first. So am I a boomer asker?
You are a boomer asker. I'm sorry to say. You know, you're trying to keep it alive and not compromise the feeling we love.
Boomer asker.
It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. If you ever want to reach out to the show, we are here. Whether it's a song request, you want to make a comment, you have a question, our number is 702-364-9400. You can call us, you can text us. I forgot to tell you guys something. I almost got into a fight on an airplane last week. I totally spaced telling you guys about this. I think I was honestly trying to block it. You know, I'm like pretty chill. Like, people do things, I don't really say anything. I also love to travel. Flying, though, is a different story for me. There's something about flying that just makes me nervous. I just, I just don't like how people act on airplanes. Like, they turn into menaces. It's awful. So,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Case in point, we went to San Diego last week, and I'm in my seat, and I'm trying to settle in, and I'm at the window seat. And so I go to close my window shade because the sun is like blazing into my eyeballs. Like, yeah. It's like so bright. So I just go to do a casual pull down so I don't have to stare into the blinding sun for a couple of hours. And just as my fingers touch the shade, this hand appears right in front of it. It's not my hand, not a flight attendant's hand, just some mythical, like mystical floating hand from another dimension. And it was the hand of the man sitting in front of me.
Okay.
So he goes to like put his hand over his seat, and it's blocking me from closing my window. Like, it's right in front of my window shade. I literally have a video of this guy's hand just right there. So I freeze and I'm like, okay, maybe he's just stretching. I'll just wait for a second. Maybe he's adjusting his headrest. I'll just wait for another second. He's not moving it. It's staying there. Meanwhile, my eyeballs are like getting fried.
Yeah.
Can your eyeballs get sunburned?
Oh, probably. I mean, that's why people probably like wear your sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly. So I am like, okay, his hand is firmly planted on my window shade, and I don't know how to handle it, because what's the protocol here for a stranger like silently laying claim to your window? Would you have asserted dominance, and would you have closed it anyway, or would you have said something to him asking permission to close your own window, or do you just accept that the guy owns your window and move on? What would you have done?
I would have asked him, like, excuse me, I'm gonna close the window, and then I would just slowly, so I won't hurt him, and I would pull it down, is what I would do.
So I decided to do the passive aggressive approach.
You did.
I gently nudged the shade down. I like just started pulling it down as if to say, like, hey, buddy, you probably forgot this is mine. So I go to do it down. He pushes it back up.
No, he does not.
He does. He goes,
no.
He pushed it back up. I am absolutely stunned. I'm like, oh my gosh. I looked at Brooklyn, who was sitting right next to me, and her eyes got big, and she starts laughing. Matt's asleep. I'm like, full on locked on with Wills with 12A here. Like, just, I don't know what to do over this tiny tug of war. Have you ever gotten into a fight on a plane? I was defenseless at that point. I didn't know what to do. So I just let it stay open, and I made zero effort to keep my knee from bumping into his seat for the entire rest of the plane ride.
I mean, I thought that I was going to get into a fight with an older guy. I mean, like, he was like older, like 80s, I would say.
Oh, gosh.
And it was on my flight to Baltimore last month. And I had, you know, those travel mirrors where you can, they're pretty big. They have a little stand and you can open it, and it's like a three-way mirror. I was using that on my at my seat in the airplane, putting on my makeup, and the light overhead I turned on so that I could see better, just so I could do my makeup while looking into the travel mirror. Well, the flight attendant starts walking up to me, and she taps me on the shoulder, and she goes, excuse me. And I look up. She goes, you're blinding the old guy behind you. She didn't say old guy. You're blinding. You're blinding the gentleman behind you, is what she said. I turn around, and this guy was like as if he was in the Sahara Desert looking in the sun.
Oh my gosh.
Both of his arms are like covering his eyes. I guess apparently the light, my overhead light, was shining into my mirror, and it was going directly into the guy behind me.
You are literally setting the man on fire right there. You see this little smoke starting to go up. It's like, okay, Sizzle. You see menace on the plane.